to the book of 1 John, chapter 3. John the Apostle, writing, of course, this epistle and teaching us many things. May we pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for your people. We thank you tonight for your son. And we ask you tonight, dear Lord, that we might honor him and exalt him. We might reveal him as the Savior and Redeemer. And Lord, for everything that's said and everything that's done, may tonight Jesus Christ receive honor and glory. Of course, in his wonderful holy name I pray. Amen and amen. Verse number 4, 1 John, tells us something tonight that we need to be very, very aware of. I think most of us tonight probably are aware of it, but the world has forgotten. John says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Several years ago, I was working in my old house at Smithville, way before the tornado, many years ago, and on one Saturday, and I was doing something inside, and I heard somebody knock on the front door. And I went to the front door, and there stood a man and a woman, and he had a little briefcase. And he said, "Sir, would you mind if I asked you a question?" I said, "Fire away." And he said, "Do you know what's causing all the problems in the world?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I do." And he said, "You do?" I said, "Yes, sir, I know exactly what's causing every problem in the world." And he said, "Well, what is it?" And I said, "Sin." And he got this look on his face, and he said, "Well, we better not trouble you," and got back in his car and drove off. But that is the absolute truth. Now, there's a lot of ramifications, and if that was all I had to say, then we'd just go home now, amen? But the Bible says a great deal about this, but the problems that we see in our world and face in our society can simply be traced back and say they're caused by sin. A noted psychologist by the name of Menninger wrote a book many years ago and entitled, "Whatever Happened to Sin?" He wasn't a Baptist preacher or any other kind of preacher, but he was a renowned psychologist. And he enumerated how that most mental illnesses are brought about because of the guilt of sin. But yet in our day, we find that most people want to kindly push that aside unless it's something they're against. You know, you think tonight, if you are a Christian, of course we are tonight categorized sin and we can begin to name sin. But if you look around tonight and you take a liberal tonight, if you're not generous, if you're not willing to tolerate, and if you're not willing to accept all kinds of activity, then you're a sinner. They may not come out and use the word, but that's exactly what they mean. But it's kind of went away tonight. We want to do away with that little problem tonight and begin to cause and blame it on other things. Vance Havner, that noted preacher of yesteryear, once said that a family was having a picnic. And as they were having the picnic, one of the little boys crawled across the field and walked out into the farmer's watermelon patch and brought back a watermelon and opened it up and began to eat it. And his mama said, "Boy, don't eat that thing. You don't know what it's been sprayed with." You see, tonight we don't really be concerned about the stealing part. We're worried about the other part. But John here confronts that. And he confronts tonight and shows tonight why we're in the mess that we're in, because tonight we're trying to deal with something far different. He said, "Whosoever And I'm a whosoever tonight. I believe that whosoever will may come and take of the water of life freely. Whosoever believeth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But John said whosoever, so I put that in the same category tonight. Whosoever. Doesn't matter who they are this evening. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law. You see tonight, people begin to live in the day and age when we want to do what we want to do. When we want to do it. Paul said that the law was not given just for righteous people, but for those who were unrighteous this evening. Now think about this for me for just a moment. When you begin to look around and you see all the things that's going on, and you begin to think about what in the world and what is happening, think about this one little word tonight, sin. And there's a passage of Scripture over in the book of Judges that I believe tonight describes it maybe better than anything I could tell you this evening, when it said that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's a society of self-justification. That's a society tonight that has no absolutes, no standards. That this evening that everybody makes their own decisions about what is right and what is wrong. Everybody makes their own decisions tonight, and they do what is right in their own eyes. That's kind of where I look around, and most of the time we're at today, isn't it? Because that's what they're teaching us today, that there are no absolutes, there are no standards. Just because I think something's wrong, I can't impose my standards on somebody else. I can't impose my beliefs on somebody else. When you begin to think about all the talk about this, and then they'll say, well, we cannot legislate morality. We can't pass laws to make people do what we think they ought to do. I beg your pardon. We do that every day, every year. You know, there's laws. Hey, they say you can't drive but so many miles an hour on the road. They're telling me what I can and can't do, aren't they? Huh? You done fishing in the waterway. Fish got to be so long before you can keep them, hadn't it? Everything we do until we get to the real nitty-gritty, and then, hey, we can't do that. That's imposing on somebody else. Well, maybe I like little bitty fish. Huh? Doe meat's a lot tenderer than buck meat, ain't it? Brother Ellis got a bunch of watermelons. I like watermelons. I'll just go down there and get me some watermelons. Well, no, that'd be stealing his watermelons. He'd shoot you. He didn't, and Ned would. But we pass all these laws, and then we turn around and say, hey, but when we get to this, no, we can't do that. We can do what's right in our own eyes in these situations. Never understood some things, Ty, until you begin to realize what God says in His Word. You see, sin tonight is what's causing these problems, because sin is transgression of the law. I don't think John just means the Ten Commandments. I really don't. You know, we have a lot of different laws, and we could talk about the laws that we that I just talked about, but you know, there's another law. There's a law of gravity. If you go out here and climb up a tree and jump out, guess what? Boop. You say, I'm a bird, I can fly. Yeah, right. You did, didn't you? Right into the ground. That's the law of gravity. There's a lot of natural laws. One thing, you know, if you ever study the book of Genesis, you'll find that when God created all of this earth and all the things that we see, it says like begets like. I mean, think about it. All kinds of laws. There are laws of that we have in nature. You study the Old Testament and you'll find that God said that there are certain things that we shouldn't do for health reasons. There are natural laws. And what he's saying here is that when we tonight decide, hey, we know better than God. We know better than the Lord. And so we don't have to listen to him anymore. We're smarter than God. So we can do what we want to do because it's right in our eyes. And we're just smarter than God. We live in a people tonight that are smarter than God. Isn't that amazing tonight? Isn't that amazing? But that's what they're saying. We're smarter than God. We're stubborn. Well, we live in the midst of a stubborn people. I told you this morning, we see all the things that's happening and then go do them again. I'll tell you one more time because it illustrates it funny, but one time we had a curtain over a window and it had come loose and Dish had been fussing at me about fixing it. So one morning before I went to work, I decided, well, I'll fix it. And so before I put my shoes on, I just climbed up on the bed and I got that thing and I put it up there and I wanted to see if it was straight, so I boom. I'm thinking, what in the world? That was a fluke. Boom! Knocked me plumb off the bed. And I'm laying down between the bed and the wall. And the old ceiling fan's going bloom, bloom, bloom because I done knocked three of the blades off. I mean, I didn't just do it once. I did it twice. And I'm laying here between the bed and the wall, and she comes walking in and says, what are you doing over there? And I said, well, I was fixing the curtain, and about that time it fell, and she said, well, you didn't do too good of a job. Sometimes you're just stubborn. You do it again. Isn't that amazing? But ain't that the way we do sometimes? We just refuse to believe it. And we just do it over and over and over again. Stubborn. Sin is a transgression of the law. It's doing what the Lord tells us not to do. But in verse 5, he tells us something really great. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. You see, we have the opportunity for our sins to be taken away, for them to be removed. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in his presence tonight, we cannot stand in sin. But Jesus Christ came into this world tonight to take away our sin. He washed them away in his blood. When I read that particular verse of Scripture, I'm reminded of the scapegoat in the Old Testament when the priest would walk out and take the sins of the people, the symbolic sins of the people, and place it on the scapegoat and turn him loose in the wilderness, and he would carry them far away. And the Bible says he took our sins as far away as the east is from the west. I'm glad tonight that Jesus Christ came to take away our sins. He didn't come to take away our poverty, and he didn't come to take away all of our sicknesses, but thank God he came to take away our sins tonight. And every man, woman, boy, and girl that's ever been born into this world tonight can be thankful tonight that there is a Savior tonight who God sent to take away our sins and for all his sin and come short of the glory of God. And you see tonight, the sin problem tonight is the problem that we have, and the only solution to the sin problem tonight is not going to be found in Washington, D.C. or Jackson, Mississippi. It's not going to be found in any politician's speech, and it's not going to be found in any educational classroom or university tonight. It's going to be found one place only, and that's in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Until we begin to understand that very simple fact tonight, that Jesus Christ is the one that takes away our sin this evening, that he is the one tonight that cleanses us and makes us whole again, then we have no choice and we have no chance this evening. And this world has no chance until they begin to realize tonight that the only hope they really have tonight is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, it said, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Does that mean tonight that we're sinless perfectionists? Absolutely not. There's nobody here this evening that is a sinless perfection this evening. Time I think about the preacher that stood up and said, I want anybody here that's never sinned to stand up. Nobody didn't. He said, does anybody here that's never sinned stand up? And finally, this little old guy in the back stood up. And the preacher said, you telling me you've never sinned? He said, no, sir, but my wife's first husband didn't. There's nobody with sinless perfection this evening. What John is saying, that when Jesus Christ becomes your Savior, when Jesus Christ takes care of the sin problem this evening, he begins to make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. And tonight he doesn't just fix tonight. He doesn't just change your status tonight and allow you to go on living in this world as you were, but he begins to change you on the inside, and you're a different individual. You're a different person. You're headed in a different direction. You have a different attitude. And things tonight are no longer the same. And I'll guarantee you this evening, I believe this with all of my heart. If people got saved tonight, if they got Jesus Christ to come into their life and their hearts, you could quit locking your doors and your windows. You wouldn't have to worry about people stealing or raping or murdering, because Jesus Christ takes care of those kind of problems this evening. Right. He makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. We're going to probably look at that Wednesday evening in our Bible studies. We look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But what John is saying here is, doesn't stay a lifestyle with you anymore. Sure, we all have moments of weaknesses, and sure, I said this morning, we wobble on the axle, and sure, there are times in our lives that we do things we wish we hadn't have done, and we have to go back and repent before God and get his forgiveness and go and find whoever we transgressed against and ask for their forgiveness this evening. But that's the difference this evening. That's where it all's about tonight. We don't make it a continual, habitual lifestyle tonight. We're not outdoing that, because John said, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. That's not my lifestyle anymore. I used to have that kind of lifestyle. Brother Peter said that they'll think it's strange that you run not to riot with them. You know, the crowd you used to run with tonight, the crowd that you used to do all of the bad things with, they think you're strange. They think tonight it's crazy. Because Jesus did something on the inside. Whosoever abideth him sinneth not. And whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. You see, he tells off on people there. That's the litmus test tonight. That's the test that it comes back to this evening. Not that somebody cannot have a mistake in their life, that they don't make things happen and they don't do things they wish they hadn't have done. But I'll tell you what it does mean tonight. It means when the Holy Spirit of God begins to convict them in their heart, they know they're wrong. And God corrects that problem real quickly this evening. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, though he loveth, he chasteneth. If you're a child of his, he chastens you. He deals with you. Tonight, sin is the problem in our world tonight. And it's causing all the homes to be ruined. And it's causing all the problems that I see in our society this evening. And the only remedy we find tonight, as John said, is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because when Jesus Christ comes in, he takes care of the sin problem this evening. Thank God for that. I'm like the little girl that was walking down the street, and there was a man out, and he was passing out pamphlets and speaking against Jesus. He was speaking against the church and talking how it was all a myth and a fable, and the Bible was not real. And finally, the little girl walked up to him and said, "Will you please be quiet and don't let my daddy hear you?" And he said, "Why? Will he beat me up?" She said, "No." Said he used to go out, drink up his paycheck, and come home and beat me and mama and my brothers and my sisters. And we didn't have anything to eat many times and wore raggedy clothes. But the Jesus Christ came into his heart. And now he comes home and brings his paycheck. And we got plenty to eat tonight. And we got clothes to wear. And him and mama are happy. And we're a big happy family. And I just wish you'd keep your mouth shut and don't let him hear this mess." Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ take care of the problem tonight. That's what John is saying. Hey, we got a sin problem. We can name all the sins tonight, but it's a sin problem. And Jesus takes care of the sin problem. And when the sin problem's taken care of, everything else works out. Amen. That's the way it is this evening. Little children, let no man deceive you. Well, there's a lot of folks out there to deceive us this evening. They're tricky. A lot of tricksters. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of them in this world. Let no man deceive you. Bunch of con artists. Deception. And people are deceived. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Now understand this, you can't do enough righteousness to become righteous. But I want to tell you this tonight, when Jesus Christ makes you righteous, then you begin to do righteousness. That's what John is saying here. You can never earn your way to heaven tonight, but when Jesus Christ makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus, then you begin to do righteous things. Amen. Hey, I've screamed down a lot of empty hollers in my life. I've done a lot of crazy things. And I'm not even dumb enough to tell you all of them I've done. I've done got like the fellow the other day. This man and woman went into a little restaurant. The guy come over to wait on them, and the man said, "We're celebrating our 75th wedding anniversary." The man said, "Man, that's marvelous." He said, "Would you like something to drink?" And the man looked over at his wife, and he said, "Honey, would you like something to drink?" She said, "Yes, I'd like some sweet tea." And he said, "Okay, pumpkin pie." He said, "Would you bring us some sweet tea?" So he brought the sweet tea, and the man said, "Do you want anything else, baby?" And she said, "Oh, no, sweetie, I appreciate that. Said, you just order the meal for us." And it was just that going on and on. Finally, the waiter said, "I've never seen two people married as long as you have talked to each other so sweet and so nice and call such a wonderful name." Finally, the old man looked up at him and he said, "Be honest with you, we forgot each other's names 10 years ago." Sometimes we forget, but listen to me this evening. Jesus took care of all of that. All that's in the past. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest.
Amen.
I'm not going to sail the wild seas no more. Jesus Christ takes care of the sin problem. And when the sin problem is taken care of, then everything else begins to fall into place this evening. And the only hope for this world, the only hope for this country, the only hope for any person is Jesus Christ, the hope of God. Sin is our problem. Jesus is our solution this evening. All right, we'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce, you and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Lord, I hope you'll take this very simple message tonight and use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. For all that's said and all that's done tonight, we thank you for Jesus and what he did in our life. Amen.